All right, if you've been around Champion Forest for a little bit, you know that our approach, our strategy to going deeper in our walk with Christ has three parts of it. I want to see if you guys can help me out with it. The first part is knowing God. The second part is growing in your relationship with God. So that's know, that's grow. What's the third part? Anybody know? Go. You guys got it. I'm impressed, right? So it's know, grow, go. And you guys are smart. You heard Ryan praying about worship. You know that we're worshiping at the end of the message today. So you know where we're going this morning. We're going to talk about what God's word, about what the Bible has to say about worship. Okay, but before we do that, I want to invite you guys to join us in prayer. I'd love to just take a second to pray for the message up front. I've asked one of our students to come up. He's going to lead us in prayer together. And this is a time where we can continue in worship of the Lord, right? So as we pray up here, don't let this be a time where you pause and where you listen. Let this be a time where you engage the Lord and where you pray as well. So Justin, go ahead, lead us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Bow with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to Champion Forest. Please help us to engage in what you're going to teach us today. And thank you for today. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Justin. So I love watching people's response, right? I love watching people's reaction to different things that happen in their life, to different situations that might come up, exciting things, things that are fun. It's incredible to see that response. Surprising things and scary things. I love seeing people respond to those kind of things as well. But people's response, not what happens, people's response is always the highlight for me. And that's definitely become the case as I've been a dad. I love watching the way my kids respond to different things because it's different every time. It's hilarious a lot of the time, but it's never what I expect it to be. Okay, so we've got a son that turned 4 in July. His name's Landon. A lot of you guys know Landon. And so Landon, when we were very excited, Chelsea and I, to give him some birthday presents for his birthday, right? And so we give him these presents, you know, several things, and he loved a lot of them. But one thing we thought that he was just going to go nuts for was this slip and slide that we bought. We'd seen it in the store several times. He had gotten this thing for some of his friends for their birthday. And so we knew that he was just going to love this thing. So we had it packed up really nice, you know, a nice wrapping paper, all that kind of stuff. And we set it down in front of him to open. And he began to open it like probably a lot of you guys open your presents. And there was paper flying everywhere. There were bows flying across the room. He couldn't get in, and he asked one of us to cut it open for him, and there's tissue paper going everywhere. There's a huge mess, and he reaches his hands in, and he pulls out this big box. It's got this amazing slip and slide, bright colors, good pictures, all this kind of stuff on the box, and he pulls it out, and here's his response. And then he picked up tissue paper and started playing with it, right? He was stone-faced the entire time he opened that slip and slide. He'd been asking for it for weeks, and that was his response. It was nothing, right? He picked it up. He looked at it. Not a word. He said something about every gift that he got except for that one. He set it down and went on to start tearing up tissue paper and making a little bit of a mess. So his response wasn't at all what I expected his response to be. And then a few weeks later, right, I bring a treat home for him. And his response to this treat was incredible. I hid it behind my back. I brought him real close when I got home from work, and I moved around. It was a little box. And you could see, like, curiosity in his eyes. He was like, what is in this little box? Dad said it's a treat. What would Dad bring me home as a treat? And the wheels are turning in his head, and you can see him thinking. You can see him wondering. You can see him curious about what's coming next. And I open the box in front of him, and I will never forget the look on his face. His eyes, when I opened that box, were happier than his eyes had ever been in his life. His mouth dropped wide open, this wide-eyed, wide mouth, didn't know what to do. He, like, couldn't breathe for a second. He was taken so off guard, and then it happened. He starts jumping up and down. He spins in a circle. He runs to the other room to tell his brother what he got. He ran back into the kitchen and fell on the floor and started spinning in a circle in front of me, cheering and yelling and screaming because he was so excited about what he had just seen, and it was a simple chocolate cupcake. Right? A simple chocolate cupcake sent him over the edge and made him go nuts, but he responded in a huge way. He was excited. He was passionate. And he was so, so ready for what I had for him. It's so cool. We respond so many different ways to so many different things, and we're going to open up God's word today to Luke chapter 5. So if you got your Bible, jump there, but we're going to see how in this chapter of the Bible and how all throughout the entire Bible, people have an encounter with God and their response is incredible. Right? People encounter God, and over and over and over again, they're moved to a position of worship because of their encounter with God. People define worship all sorts of different ways, and we'll hear a few different things about worship this morning, but the most common way that people would define worship is this. It's an expression, right? So it's our response. It's our expression of reverence and adoration. All right, worship is an expression of reverence and of adoration. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of worth. It's an expression of value towards the thing that we are worshiping. Now, you and I, as Christians, as believers, as people that walk with Jesus, we are called to worship God. We're called to worship God, but guys, it goes so much deeper than that. You, yes, you, sixth grader, 12th grader, college student, life group teacher, doesn't matter. You weren't just called, you were created to worship God. All of us were created to worship God. It's much more than singing. That's a big part of it, but it goes so much deeper than that. Look at Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses together. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. That's a big deal, right? Fishermen are no longer in the boats. They're washing the nets. The day is over, and it's a little bit harder than just washing one of our fishing poles, right? It's a lot of work for them to do that. So they're done, all right? Verse 3, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, that's Peter, Simon Peter, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night, and we took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. They worked hard all night, and they caught nothing. They'd been doing it. Right? They had been doing it. They had been working hard, and nothing had come out of the lake into their nets. But here's what's happening in this passage, and I love it. It's such a great picture for us if we'll think about what Jesus is asking him to do. Peter was invited to go deeper, right? Into deeper water. But more than that, Peter was invited to go deeper. He was invited to do something that he hadn't done before. With those boats and with those nets back then, it was so much easier for them to catch fish in shallow water, right? They could circle up the fish and the nets, they could pin them in shallow water, and they could scoop them out. Jesus is asking Peter to do something that he hadn't done before. He's asking him to go out into the deep water. But then again, he's asking him to do something else, right? He's asking Peter to go out and to fish in the middle of the day, right? If you've been fishing before, you know that the best times are night, early in the morning, or late in the evening. Nobody fishes in the heat of the day, and these guys didn't either. They fish all night long, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, step out of your routine, step out of your schedule, right? Be willing to embrace something. Be willing to do something that you've never done before. And trust me, let's go and do this. And so again, Jesus invites Peter to go deeper, to do something that hasn't been done before. And then the last thing is this. He invited Peter to do it after the work was over and after they had already cleaned up the nets. He was asking Peter to sacrifice a little bit. He was asking Peter to work a little harder. He was asking Peter to trust him with his time and to trust him with his resources. He was asking Peter to go deeper. And in spite of all those things, guys, Peter was obedient. Peter said yes. He said yes to what Jesus asked him to do. This past Wednesday night, I was hanging out with some seniors. I guess, can we call you guys that now? The people that are going to be juniors moving in? You guys are old. You're seniors now, all right? So I was hanging out with some seniors, and I asked them where they thought God might be calling them to go deeper in their walks with Christ this year. And the responses were pretty cool, all right? They were a wide range of things. Some students said that they felt God was calling them to go deeper in their prayer life. And we talked about that and what it looks like and how they could set up a plan and a schedule to daily dive deeper in their prayer life with the Lord. Some of the seniors said, hey, I feel like God's calling me to go deeper and not just my reading, but in my study of God's word. I want to read God's word, but not just read a couple verses. I want to study it and dive into it and really know and understand God's word and allow it to change me. Some senior said, hey, I feel like God's calling me to step up into this new position of leadership. I want to step up and lead. I want to be in a place where I can serve people and point them to Christ by the way that I live my life and by the influence that God has given me. I know that God's calling them to go deeper. And the cool thing is this, their answer was yes. No matter what it was, that night when we were talking, their answer to going deeper was yes. Peter's answer was going yes. And when God calls you to something, guys, the answer has to be yes. When God calls our life group teachers to something to go deeper, the answer is yes. When God calls me to something, guys, the answer needs to be yes. We need to be willing and obedient to go wherever it is that God asks us to go. Guys, Peter was. He was willing. And look at verse 6. Let's see what happens when Peter was willing to go deeper. It says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came to come to help them, and they came and they filled both of the boats so that the boats began to sink. Think about that, all right? Think about having so many fish in your boat that your boats begin to sink, all right? Think about how much a fish weighs and how many fish you would need in your boat to make your boat begin to sink. So the boats began to sink in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything, and they followed him. Listen, Simon Peter and the guys with him were obedient to Jesus. They went deeper and they experienced something that they had never experienced before. They'd caught fish before, but their boat had never been so full of fish that it began to sink before. They experienced the unexpected. They experienced something new. They experienced something refreshing, and they were completely overwhelmed by the way that God was working in their lives when they were willing to go deeper, and their response was incredible. Guys, their response was a response of immediate worship. And as they worshiped God right there on that boat, as they worshiped Jesus because of what he did, two things jumped out to me, right? Two things jumped out in my heart as I read this passage about their encounter with God. And the first is this, guys, when we encounter God, we become aware. All right, when we encounter God, we become aware of a lot of things, but here's two specific things. We become aware of just who God is and just who we are. All right, we become aware of who God is, of his power, of his holiness, and we become aware of who we are and our incredible and our desperate need for God. Remember, think about Peter's life. In this passage, Peter is not a disciple yet. He becomes one at the end of this passage, but Peter's not a disciple of Jesus when this is going on. When Jesus said, hey, put your boat out into the lake, Peter hadn't become a disciple yet. He hadn't left everything and followed Jesus yet. So he didn't really know what to expect when he went out there. But Jesus showed up, Peter listened, and he realized that there was something incredibly special, incredibly different about Jesus. He became aware that Jesus was someone that he needed to pay attention to. And look back at verse 8. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter responds, and he calls Jesus Lord. Guys, that means something. That word right there in that passage, in that position in that passage, is something for us to pay attention to. When Peter calls Jesus Lord, it shows us that Peter has become keenly aware of who Jesus is. He knows at this point who Jesus is. He knows that he's not just another man. He knows that he's not just a carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph. He knows that he's not just a random guy that's been teaching, doing things around. He knows that Jesus is from God, and he calls him Lord. And he doesn't just call Jesus Lord. He identifies himself too. He identifies himself as a sinful man who needs a Lord, as a sinful man who is apart from God. And it's so cool that he becomes aware of those two things and he puts those two things together and it causes him to do something. It stirs him to action. When Peter encountered God, he was made aware of himself, but he was also made aware of God's power and God's holiness. It happens other places in the Bible as well. You think back to Isaiah and Isaiah's encounter with God, it was the same kind of thing. The same kind of thing, and it drove him to worship God. But he didn't just become aware, okay? He went past that. And the second thing that jumps out is this. He moved almost immediately to a position of surrender. When Peter encountered God, he surrendered. He surrendered his life to him, as we see at the end of that passage. He left everything and he followed him. But right there as it happens, he surrenders to God. He didn't see all the fish come into the boat and look at Jesus and say, Jesus, that was incredible. What else can you do? You have any other tricks to show me? He didn't say the fishing trip has been really, really cool. Let's go on a hunting trip now, right? He didn't do any of that, right? You sort of see where I'm going with this? He saw it and he immediately surrendered to God. Look back at your Bible and look at the position that he got in, right? We see in that passage that immediately he's on his knees at the feet of Jesus. Right, he's moved to his knees at the feet of Jesus. He fell down. And guys, people don't do that now. Right? People don't do that to other people. People don't submit themselves to other people like that. And people definitely didn't do it then unless they were moving themselves to a place of surrender. He surrendered himself to God. And the cool thing is this. We're talking about how we respond to things. Nothing else ever drove Peter to a response like that. We can read a lot about his life, and we read a lot about Peter, and we have some of Peter's letters, and we see him do incredible things. We see him experience incredible things. We see him be a part of incredible things, but look up here. Nothing that he saw and nothing that he did ever again moved him to a response like that other than Jesus. Jesus was the only thing that ever made him respond like that. Think about what makes you respond. Think about the things that really get you passionate. All right, we respond to a ton of different things. We get excited about a lot of different things. I went to Texas A&M. I heard some of you guys are going there pretty soon. Andrew, congratulations, great place. So I spent a lot of time in Kyle Field being very excited and very passionate about a football team that would get your hopes way up and then let you down over and over and over again. You'd think I would learn, but I haven't, right? So here's the deal, right? I've seen people respond, 100,000 people at a time respond with passion, with excitement, with joy, sometimes with pain and anxiety and fear. But you see people respond in a huge way to things like football, right? I've been to a ton of high school games. I've been to a ton of middle school games. I've sat with students. I've been on the sideline with a lot of you guys. Listen, I've sat with your parents, and the way that we respond, man, we respond passionately. We respond with excitement. We respond with joy, sometimes with fear or disappointment. But guys, we respond in a big, big way. You guys are starting school next week, right? Yeah. See, we respond to that, right? We respond to everything, sometimes with disappointment and maybe dread, like school coming next week, guys. But we respond to so many different things in our life. We respond to so many different things that come in and out of our life, sometimes huge, good ways, like a football team or like a cupcake. Sometimes we respond with disappointment to things. But guys, we respond in a big way all the time. And listen, guys, the passion, the energy, the excitement that we have with all of these different kind of things should be a tiny speck compared to our response of worship when we encounter Jesus. Listen, sometimes we respond to good things in a way that we should only respond to Christ. Guys, our ultimate source of worship, our ultimate source of joy and passion should be reserved for Jesus Christ alone and our love relationship and our walk with him. In Revelation chapter 22, John has experienced some incredible things and he's seen some incredible things, and Jesus has invited him up into heaven to see what's going on and to see what's coming next and to see what's coming at the end of time. And the incredible thing is this, right? John sees it and John writes it down and we get to read about it and discuss it and sort of see what we think is coming next. But the cool thing is this, in Revelation 22, I believe in verse 9, John sees it and he gets overwhelmed with passion. He gets overwhelmed with excitement about what's going on. And the Bible says, and John said, right? Is John quoting himself? He says that he fell down at the feet of the angel that was showing him all these things, and he began to worship that angel because of what was being seen and what was being shown to him. And here's the cool thing, right? This jumped out to me, and this when I was reading this week, as I prayed this week, and this kept coming back to the front of my mind. John bows down, and he begins to worship that angel. And you know what happened? The angel bends down, and it says, the Bible says, picks him up and stands him up and turns him around and points him to Jesus and basically says, you weren't created to worship me and I wasn't created to be worshiped. You were created to worship Jesus. You were created to worship God. And he redirected John's focus. He redirected John's passion. He redirected John's energy into a position of worship to the one that John should have actually been worshiping. I love that passage, and it's a great reminder for us, guys, that when we encounter God, when we know God, when you and I have experienced God, guys, we can't help but worship him. And that worship should be a huge part of our lives, not just in here on Sundays or Wednesdays or down the hall at 9:30, guys, but that worship should be a huge part of our lives at church and every single day. Do you know that we're called to worship God every single day? And I don't mean, you know, sing worship songs in your car every single day, although that's good. Guys, I mean that we're called to worship God every single day, no matter where we are. In the New Testament, it's so cool. There's this shift, right? There's this shift. Think about this. Look up here. Think about the way that the people worshiped God in the Old Testament of the Bible, right? In the New Testament, Jesus makes a shift and he says, listen, the place, it's good, but the place isn't the most important thing. Guess what the most important thing for you in worship is? It's your heart, right? Your heart is the most important thing. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well and they're debating on the best place to worship and the best way to worship. And Jesus looked at her and said, listen, one day, true worshipers, not people that just do it for a show, but true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. So it's going to start in our heart, right? The Holy Spirit is going to guide our heart to the truth of God, and we're going to respond in worship to him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, right? In Matthew 15, Jesus is talking to a group of people about a group of people, and he said, listen, those people worship me with their lips, but their hearts, this important part, right? But their hearts are far from me. He said, listen, these people are singing the right songs. They're saying the right things. They're saying the right prayers. They're saying and doing a lot of the right things, but it doesn't matter because their hearts are far from me. Look up here, guys. If you want to worship God in here, if you want to worship God every day of your life, the way that God's called you to worship him, it starts right here in your hearts. And from the heart flows our worship. There's a great writer, a great author, a great speaker named John Piper, and I love what he says about our worship. He says, our worship is a real and authentic experience in the heart with God, or it is nothing. Right? Our worship is a real, authentic experience in our hearts with God, or it is nothing. Guys, it all starts in our heart. It starts in our heart. So we're going to talk this morning for a couple of minutes about ways that we can go deeper in our worship of God every single day of our life. Not just in here, but ways that we can go deeper when we're on our own throughout the week. So we've got three action steps, three things that you can do to go deeper in your worship of God every day. And the first one is this, guys, meet with God. Meet with God. Spend time with him. If worship is our response with him, then get with God. Spend time with God. Allow yourself to be in the presence of God. Create a plan. Figure out a time where you're going to sit down and where you're going to read God's word. Figure out a time and a strategy and a plan for you to sit down and to spend time in prayer with him. It's so encouraging and it's so amazing to sort of see throughout the day how so many of you guys, and you tweet about it or you text us and you ask questions or that kind of thing, but it's so incredible to see how many of you guys start your day in God's word each and every day. I want to encourage you guys to continue doing that. And if you're not, spend time with God. Second way you can go deeper in your worship every day is this, guys. Walk with God. After spending time with him in the morning, bring him with you throughout your day, right? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading you all throughout your day. God never wanted to be a part of your day. God wants to be with you all day and allow everything you do all throughout the day to be an act of worship to God, to be done for the glory of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about how our day, our lives, should be an act of worship before God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says this, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, right? Whatever we do, God, should be an act of worship to God. Our eating, our drinking, guys, the way that you interact with your parents, the way that you approach school, the way that you approach your job, the way that you approach Bible study, the way that you treat your friends or talk about people, all of those things, guys, are opportunities for worship. They're opportunities for you to worship. I read this quote this week and said this, worship is not something to do, it's a way to be, right? Worship is not just something to do. Worship is a way to be. Our lives should be lived as an act of worship to God. And the third thing is this, a way for you to go deeper in your worship of God every day is respond to God, right? As you meet with him, as you walk with him, be willing to do what he calls you to do. As you read God's word and he reveals something in his word about your heart and about your life, if he's asking you to make a change, if he's asking you to go deeper, the answer is yes, do it. Respond to what he's calling you to do. If you're there that first week of school and he's prompting you to do something, respond to it and be obedient to him. Guys, living a life of worship to God every day is important. It's what you were designed to do. It's what you were created to do. It's what you were called to do. And guys, when you do it, guess what? People notice. People see it. And people are pointed to God because of it. And guys, that worship that you do 6 days a week, right? That worship that you do on your own throughout the day. When we come in here, right? What happens in here should be an overflow of what God's done in our hearts all week long. So here's a couple things that we can do as a church to go deeper in our worship here. The first thing is this, and I just said it, guys. When we come in here every Sunday morning, when we come in here on Wednesday nights, we need to let our worship be an overflow of what God's doing in our lives every day. A lot of you guys after camp talk about how you love the worship at camp, how you're passionate about and excited about the worship at camp. Guys, at camp, your worship and our worship is an overflow of what God's doing in our heart all week long. It's an overflow of the intentional time that we are spending with God outside of that worship room. So let that happen here as well. Second thing we can do on Sunday morning is this. Get in here, fill it up, and start at the front, right? Get down front and become active and engaged in the worship service every single Sunday morning. The third is this, guys, engage, be present when you're here. Put your phones down. It's a lot to ask, I understand that. But when you're here, engage in what's going on. Man, if the words are on the screen and we're singing, even if you're just learning the song, stand up and respond in worship to God. Sing, right? Sing and respond to the Lord. When someone's praying, Justin or whoever else is praying up here, guys, spend time, engage, respond, pray in your seat where you're at. Guys, when you're here, be present. And the last part of engaging is this. Take notes. Right? Take notes. I'm telling you, when you write, underline things in your Bible, when you make notes in the margin, when you have a little note section on your phone and you type things in, whatever it is, guys, when you type it out, when you write it out, I'm telling you, you're going to be so much more likely to remember what's going on. And the last two things are this, guys, to go deeper on Sunday mornings, invite people to go with you, right? Don't go deeper alone. Reach out. Find people, find new people, find people that haven't been in a while, invite them and ask them to go deeper with us on Sunday. And then the last thing is this, guys, just like in your personal and your daily walk with God, when we come together for worship in here, guys, respond to what God is prompting and to what God is putting in your heart. Guys, respond to the worship time. Respond to the music. Respond to God's word as we read it together. And as God puts things in your heart, as God shows you things from his word, guys, respond to what he has for you. And I'm telling you, guys, that all of us, all of us will go deeper in our knowledge of God, which is going to cause us to go deeper in our worship of God each and every day, but also each and every Sunday as we come in here together.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.